This is The View from 22 from The Spectator. Subscribe from just £1 a week at spectator.co.uk.
Welcome to The View from 22. I'm David Blackburn, online commentator of The Spectator. Delighted to be joined by Grant Shapps, the chairman of the Conservative Party. He's here to talk about the local elections which are coming up. Mr. Shapps, very few people vote in local elections. Why should they vote in this local election?
First of all, it's not true that very few overall. When you have a nationwide election, millions of people will be going out to vote. It's not, you know, it's not underplay this. But to get to your point, the simple answer is this is the stuff that matters to you and your family. This is about the, you know, literally the lights in your street, the bins, your local schools in many cases. It's going to be the kind of bread and butter things that you pay your council tax and expect to service in return. So I think this is, you know, really matters. And there's one simple message, which is you'll get better services at lower cost when you vote Conservative.
Well, you were very clear that council tax can and should be low. That's been something that the government and the Conservative Party has campaigned on for a long time. So I wonder what you'd advise to voters in Worcestershire, say, which is a Conservative council that has raised council tax this year.
Well, look, I think that people really kind of got a measure of council tax under the last Labour government. The council tax doubled for almost everybody in this country, some cases more so. We have put a lot of time, energy and resource in this government, Conservative-led, to try to hold down those council tax bills, ideally to freeze them, some cases to cut them. Yes, there have been some who, as the example you just cited, where that's not been possible one way or the other. But actually, in truth, council tax bills are a heck of a lot cheaper than they would have been under Labour, saving the average family hundreds of pounds. So, you know, the point still stands. Conservatives in government nationally and locally tend to run services better, tend to charge less council tax, and we do it better. So, you know, vote Conservative on the 22nd.
I mean, to go back to the example in Worcestershire, the county council there say that they've had to raise council tax because demand for child services is such that they need the extra money, and that the funding with DCLG, the Department for Local Government, is no longer sufficient. Does that not imply that there's a point at which you have to raise more tax in order to meet certain services?
Well, look, I mean, I've just talked about how council tax doubled under the last Labour government. Whatever the rise going on in Worcestershire, and as far as I'm aware, they're not having a referendum, so it must be less than
1.94%.
So I was going to say it must be less than a 2%.
Is that democracy dodging?
Well, I don't like that. I think you know the you know it is incumbent on local authorities to look after the money for their residents. I don't want to get into commenting on individual examples, but the broad brush is council tax has been kept low. If you are particularly living in a Conservative area, the chances are it's been kept lower. All the figures back that up. There will be some local pressures in some areas. I would argue they should be looking towards their reserves. They should be looking to share services. They should be looking to do all of the estate management, looking after their resources better, but in different places. But in the end, what you've got is Conservative councils costing you less and delivering better services, and you're supporting a government that's made that possible. And again, that's why I think on the 22nd of May, people should vote Conservative in the interests of their own household budget, in the interests of their own local services.
Do you see this as a preparation for next year's general election, in a sense? Like, not a skirmish as such, but are you testing ideas?
Well, every set of elections is like really critical.
And I ask that because the Labour Party hasn't provided a manifesto.
Right.
So I feel that in this interview I ought to try and play the Labour Party.
Tease it out. Well,
One of the arguments that when you talk to Labour people around the sort of edges of this debate, they say that it's all very well cutting council tax, but we need to cut council tax in order to improve the quality of housing stock, both for local council tax funding council housing, but also the wider point about affordable housing. How do you respond?
I think
to
if
that?
You're going to draw wider lessons from Labour's whole approach and our long-term economic plan, it would be this. Actually, through the prism of local government, Labour said that when we started the programme of reducing the amount of money available to local authorities, they said it would be Armageddon. I mean, they literally tried to describe a world in which people weren't being buried, where the rubbish was piling up, a bit like Labour's winter of discontent. The truth, 4 years on, and something like a 26-28% reduction in the money going to local authorities, is that satisfaction from the public has gone up, not down. How is this possible overall? The answer is there was masses of waste. They've found new, innovative, really impressive ways to do things, and they're delivering better services for less. Labour would tell you that could never happen, it could never work. Conservatives have proven that it could work at local government level. And to answer your first question, this is why, in this sense at least, and this is an important indicator, not indicator so much, but microcosm of the big argument in a national election, which is to say it is possible to spend less but do things better. Companies do it all the time. Local authorities have been proving they can do it, and national government has as well. So the simple message is, don't throw that all away. Don't give the keys back to the people who crashed the car in the first place at these local government elections. They'll do the same as they did to this country in the national elections if Labour get their hands on the town halls.
Okay. To look at one of the issues which is dominating not only this local government campaign, but is almost certainly going to dominate the next general election campaign, which is affordable housing. Now, the coalition government made big strides in this area to start with. I mean, in 2010 to 11, provided more gross affordable homes than at any point since 1996. The trend then has been down. I mean, just to read you some figures, total number of affordable homes provided last year was down 26% on the year before, which itself was down 3 or 4%, depending on which figures you look at, on the year before that. I mean, what explains this trend?
Well, first of all, be wary about looking at individual years in isolation. It very much depends on...
Well, I mean, the trend since 2010 is, I mean, for example, gross additional affordable homes, this is from the ONS, 60,630 in 2010-11, which was the highest since 1996, then 57,950 in 2011 to 2012, and then 42,830 in 2012-13. I mean, why are these numbers...
So I mean, just to kind of continue that answer, I wouldn't look at individual years in isolation. I'd look at the coalition's record over 5 years. We will have delivered 170,000 new affordable social homes over that period. 170,000. What was the previous government's record over 13 years, you might ask? The answer is negative 420,000 social homes. So during the Labour years, they actually destroyed the stock of social homes and didn't replenish it through things like their Pathfinder scheme. Your listeners may not be aware, this is where literally John Prescott chose streets in Liverpool, in places like Stoke-on-Trent, and just bulldozed entire streets. We end up with fewer homes as a result of that policy. By comparison, we'll have 170,000 more. As I say, it's a bit misleading if you look at individual years for starts and finishes and what have you. You need to look at it in the round. We would have put £19 billion of both private and public funding into affordable housing, £19 billion, and produced 170,000 plus affordable homes. It's a pretty good record that I'd be pretty proud to tell. We are going to get that
at the moment.
No. I can reveal exclusively to Spectator Radio that I'm pretty confident that we will deliver and probably over deliver those numbers within the 5 years of this Parliament. So we will have had a really good, in fact, by comparison to Labour, spectacular record on affordable housing delivery. Here's one more change as well. When I was Housing Minister, I launched with the Prime Minister the reinvigorated Right to Buy scheme. Thousands of people have been taking up that scheme with larger discounts, but we've taken all of the money from that scheme and replacing homes one for one. So you not only does someone buy their own home, you get another affordable home for somebody else to rent. So there's a really sort of good way of making this work for everyone. That's what's happened under the coalition. I think we can be very proud of our housing record.
Okay. I mean, there's obviously on the 22nd of May, there are European elections as well. I've been told for the previous sort of 4 years of this Parliament by various Conservative aides and ministers who've been laying the ground saying that UKIP are going to win. Are you expecting them to win?
I don't resume the result of an election before people have spoken. So I don't want to sound like a sort of classic sort of politician here, but actually, genuinely, the only vote that matters is on the day. So I don't get into speculating in advance. What I do is put up the best arguments for people to vote Conservative. And I think they are unbelievably compelling in the set of European elections. For example, if you're the sort of person who thinks that Europe's got too much power, that more power should be rested locally, maybe even at national level, maybe even you believe that we should have an in-out referendum. How are you going to get to those things? You can't get it by voting Labour or Lib Dem. They just want to take us further into Europe. You can't get it by voting UKIP. How do we know? Because Nigel Farage himself has said we can't actually change anything in Europe. So the only way you can get that is by voting Conservative. When you do, you're voting for a renegotiation and an in-out referendum. So this is the most powerful way of sending a message to Europe, is to vote Conservative and get Conservative MEPs elected.
And you touched on Nigel Farage. Obviously, he's in the news at the moment with the alleged abuse of the European allowances system. Is that something that Conservatives are trying to change, the system by which MEPs are changed?
Well, look, the allegations look extremely serious. He'll need to answer for that. I think the real concern for British people is that here's a guy who doesn't do what he preaches. We've all seen those stories. But more importantly,
what do you mean by that?
Well, for example, he's always said that people shouldn't employ his wife, their wives, and employs his wives, and these current set of allegations. That's for him to answer. That's not that's a separate issue for him. What really concerns me is that he doesn't do what he preaches at an election when he then gets asked the question again. So just at January, he was saying that we should cut welfare, we should cut the NHS spending that we've protected as a coalition government. And then in February, when campaigning in Withenshaw and Sale East, he says, we should increase the amount of money we spend on welfare, pensions and the NHS. So he sort of doesn't do what he says on the packet. In Europe, he says he's there to fight for Britain. Where were they when it came to David Cameron having negotiated the first ever cut in the EU budget, something which would be worth to this country, £8 billion over a period of years? What did UKIP do? They voted against that reduction in the EU budget. So here's a guy who just doesn't do what he says he's going to do. And I think that those reasons alone are sufficient to make people, I hope, think twice about lending their support to UKIP, because as Nigel Farage says himself, they can't deliver, only Conservatives can.
Anyway, Grant Chaps, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
The View from 22 was presented and produced by Sebastian Payne. You can read all the articles discussed in this week's Spectator magazine, available in newsagents and on the Kindle and App Store. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or find more episodes at spectator.co.uk/podcast.